بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to my beloved listeners. You're on Radio Islam International and Alhamdulillah, again another opportunity to be educated, empowered, motivated and inspired right here on my show, Youth Talk. It's exam time. It's stressful. It's nerve-wracking. It's something that affects the entire household, not only the students who are writing an exam. But today, inshallah, as we unpack mathematics in Math Matters Part 2 with my guest, educator, senior educator, very, very experienced educator, who's very, very passionate about mathematics, Alexandra Sukamaya, who is an educator at Willamore High School in Benoni. And she and I, in the second segment of Math Matters, are going to share with you some very valuable exam preparation tips that parents, educators, as well as students can put into their lives to make things a little bit easier. Remember in the first show that we discussed regarding mathematics with Alexandra, we spoke about having a positive attitude towards the subject. Lots of children around the world become a little bit nervous when it comes to mathematics for various reasons. It's not everybody's strong point, but everyone needs to learn it, apply it, and understand that without mathematics, you cannot function progressively in life, and it is a necessary life skill. So we are going to be sharing valuable tips for students, particularly in high school, with focus on grade 11 and 12. Remember, matric maths, very challenging, very important. Well, what we're going to basically try and do, we're going to become optimistic. We're not going to say challenging. We're not going to say stressful. We are definitely not going to say difficult and I can't do this. We are going to say, I can try. I'm able to. Because that's very, very important when tackling any examination, when sitting down for any test whatsoever, your mindset. And to tell us more about this is none other than my guest, who is so passionate about mathematics. Good morning, Alexandra, and welcome once again to Youth Talk right here on Radio Islam International.
Good morning, Bibi Aisha. Thank you so much for having me again. I'm very excited out here in the basketball courts. My teams are playing right now, but I'm ready for mathematics.
Now, when you're saying that, right, Alexandra, it's telling me that math is my life, teaching is my calling, teaching is my passion. I'm at the basketball court, I'm watching students, I'm there, but math is in my heart, math is in my blood. And I can say the same for you when it comes to English. So together, I think, you know, unpacking math and English is also very important because it comes to how do you interpret the question? How do you read what is expected from you? Will you agree?
Yes, sometimes students really, really misunderstand the question. And if they go the wrong way, that can cause all the marks. How to read it? You're getting exposed to a lot of different types of wording in the same question. And that happens only if you go through a lot of past paper questions and you study the same topic from many different past papers. Then you see.
So sometimes it could be like the same question, just phrased differently.
Exactly. So they can ask for the same thing with variations. So as I say, my students, I can ask something straightforward. Then I can spice it up, changing a little. Spice it up, changing the wording a little more. At the end, they don't know that it's the same question. It has just been spiced up. So they need
100%.
To go through a lot of past papers to see all those ways of asking the same thing.
Well, Alexandra, I need to ask you, I mean, being a teacher in a high school for so many years, you know, especially with matric learners, what is going through everyone's mind right now? Because as you and I were preparing for the show and we spoke yesterday, you mentioned to me that there is another exam that matriculants will be writing now, I believe, before getting into the actual preparation for the final exams. Can you please tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, here in Gauteng, the June exams in mathematics are treated exactly the same way like the matric exam. The paper is provincial. We follow all procedures, and kids will go through this. In a couple months, they're going to go through the prelim, and then they're going to do their final. So they're going to have a chance to write that final three times. Hopefully by the third, they'll get it perfect.
So obviously in this way, it's sort of getting the children mentally prepared for the finals. They get used to the exam techniques, examiner questions. Also, they can face themselves to see, okay, these are the gaps. These are my strong points. These are the places that I still need some more revision. And also, so they can face themselves when it comes to the final exam, I'm sure. I would also assume it would also give teachers, an understanding of which areas need to be concentrated on with regards to revision?
Absolutely. Because when we mark the June exam, then we're going to have classes with our learners to try to fix things that can be fixed. Damage control up to one point for kids who are not passing, we're going to do damage control there. And for the others who are doing well, we're going to see how we can improve them. Same process going to happen with the prelims. So it's up to the kids now to do their best, and we are on their sides.
Now, aside from the obvious preparation for exams, which we're going to be discussing in detail after the ad break, you know, where you're going to be giving us, you know, experience that you have seen over the years with students in the exam room and all of other things. But when we talk about exam preparation, and like I said in my opening statement, right, that it's a preparation for everyone in the home. Now, there are things that students forget. And these things have a very negative impact in their performance, especially when it comes during an exam, whether it's mathematics, whether it's English, Afrikaans, whatever the subject is. And these are things that we often really take for granted. And especially now living in South Africa, there is load shedding. Exclamation mark times 10. So if you can please talk us through the preparation of things that could possibly go wrong and how this obviously impacts a student right before an exam and his or her performance in an exam.
Absolutely. What we're doing right now with the June exams and the prelims, we are training the kids how to be proactive and prepared. When we say proactive, we mean that you cannot wait to go to your venue 5 minutes before you start writing. Because in the finals, if something happens, if there is an accident on the road, and you get into the exam venue 1 minute after the exam hour of the exam, for example, if you start writing at 9, if you get to the venue 10 o'clock, you cannot write your exam. You lost it.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what's the reason. Could be an accident on the road. Could be a flat tire. Anything. If you come there after an hour has passed, you're not allowed in the venue. So kids now have to practice with this. They have to be seated 1 hour before commencement of the examination. So if they write at 9, they have to be seated by 8 o'clock. Unfortunately, I've heard being an exam administrator, we were told about a school where learners would come there 5 minutes before 9. Mm. They're supposed to be seated by 8. They come 5 minutes before 9. They sit and write. But if you plan to be there at 9 and something happens, maybe you're not going to be there at 10. What are you going to do? Wait for next year to write again. So you're putting your matric certificate into danger. So number one, be punctual. You have to plan, foresee the load shedding, check the schedule. How is the traffic going to be? Don't think 9 o'clock, think 8 o'clock. You have to be in the venue. You have to be seated. You have to have your South African ID with you. There are still learners who haven't issued their South African ID. They haven't got it yet. What are they waiting? You cannot write without your South African ID.
That is shocking.
Take care of that ID. Unfortunately, there are kids who would lose their IDs. They have to reapply. So, IDs. Be there on time. Uniform. Even though kids are out of the school, a matric now, it's basically out of the school. They cannot come with wrong uniform because it takes one educator to get upset with a learner, and then the learner will get upset. So that learner is going to be on the right, not going to be in the right mind frame to write the exam. Mm.
They're going to have an altercation with, okay, I get this. So, yeah, you could have somebody coming in with bubble gum and maybe a hairstyle that is not, you know, part of the school rules, and maybe wearing a denim jacket, for example, and that's not the school uniform. And maybe the principal or the deputy comes past and they're like, listen, why are you dressed like this? And then you're having this altercation with the student, and it's already putting you on a negative footing for the student, because the mindset now is he's focusing or she's focusing on the words that were exchanged with maybe the educator, when he or she should be focused on, I'm writing this exam, I'm ready, I'm geared up, I'm positive, I can do this. So, you know, these are so valid points that you are sharing, and things that people often take for granted. We don't realize how, like say, like an example with load shedding, you wake up early in the morning, you're getting ready for your exam, and then maybe there's an unscheduled load shedding and you need to have a cold shower. Then, you know, your breakfast, you may not be able to have that warm milk. And you're already irritated because now your comforts have been taken away. Now you're getting into the car with your parents, or maybe you're walking to school and there's some other mishap that can happen. And you get to the venue and you have an argument with somebody. And all of these things we don't realize have a negative effect on our ability to perform and produce. And these are really unforeseen circumstances. Sometimes people say life happens. Yes, we understand. But you don't want to be starting an exam with all this these irritations.
Yes.
Already, you know. Definitely. Definitely. And also, I would think, obviously, exam preparation is obvious. I mean, I have known from my teaching experience, children coming in, and obviously, I taught foundation phase, but there were times where we were asked to assist, you know, higher classes. And you are writing an exam, and a child would come, ma'am, can I borrow a calculator? Really? You are writing a mathematics exam. You do not have a calculator? My pen is not working. I don't have a compass. Really? Could you please elaborate further?
Yes. That goes on to the second leg of exam preparation. Number one, be proactive. Try to catch anything that can go wrong before time. And number two, be prepared. And these are life lessons. They're not just exam lessons. They're life lessons. Be prepared. Go there. Check that you have absolutely everything. You're not going to have one calculator. You're going to have two calculators. Last year, for the first time, after running matric exams, for the first time I saw a learner with two calculators, and they both stopped working.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But we had our spare one, and at least we could assist, but you cannot be with one calculator. You write matric exam, be prepared, have two. I had a learner, I always say that, he had three. three calculators.
Mm-hmm.
This kid wouldn't leave anything to chance. So be prepared. Check what you need. Do you need a calculator? Do you need your protractor? Your pens? Your South African ID? You're wearing the right socks? Have everything, all your ducks in a row. And the other thing that students don't remember, toilet. Be prepared. Train yourself not to go to the toilet every 5 minutes. Don't have too much water or tea or coffee before you go to write. Make sure that you go to the toilet before you go and write. And the reason is, if you
haven't
gone to the toilet, then you start getting uncomfortable.
Yes.
Actually, from department, they tell us kids are not allowed to go to the toilet. All right? So we tell that to the kids. So I am writing. I had 2 cups of coffee and I didn't go to the toilet before. I have a 3-hour exam. I have 1.5 more hours actually in front of me. I start getting uncomfortable. My mind is not on my exam. Time passes. I look for an invigilator around me. Must I raise my hand or not? I raise my hand. By the time they see me and they come to me, time passes. I ask now, can I please go to the toilet? I get the speech. Don't you know that you have to be prepared to go to the toilet before? But ma'am, I cannot hold it. Fine. Let me get my board. So the invigilator goes to do the paperwork. Then somebody comes. Maybe there is not a male invigilating at this time. And it's a male that needs to go to the toilet. Oh, let's get a male teacher here.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey. You're on Radio Islam International. And today we're talking about Math Matters Part 2 with my guest, senior educator and very, very experienced educator, very passionate about mathematics, Alexandra Sukamaya, who is the lead educator, head educator for mathematics at Willamore High School in Benoni. Now, before I go back into the show, there's something I would love to share with the listeners of Radio Islam International. So recently I visited Hyderabad, South India on a business trip with my spouse. And me being who I am, you know, once a teacher, always a teacher, everybody's child is your child. So wherever it is that I go around the country or around the world, I make an effort to try to visit the maktabs as well as the schools. So currently in Hyderabad, it is school holidays. They have their summer vacation now. But I did manage to visit maktabs because a maktab doesn't close. Maktabs are open every day, Monday to Friday. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Having engaged with many children at orphanages, this is what I learned. That before the age of 4 and 5, every child in Hyderabad, I visited a place called Gachibowli in Hyderabad, which is in the state of Telangana in South India. Children are literate. They are able to read, write, count, and they are all tech savvy by age 4 and 5. So when they start grade 1, for children to be doing 1 + 1 = 2 is actually insulting to them because that is something they have learned at home already. The goal on education is very, very focused. It's prioritized. So I am asking you, Alexandra, as somebody who has been an educator for so many years, what are we doing so horribly wrong in South Africa for us to have the lowest, amongst the lowest rates in mathematics around the world? I mean, I visited Hyderabad. I've had other people that I know that have visited this place 10 years ago and to now, there has been progression. Where are we missing the point?
I think we are underestimating ourselves so much. We are underestimating our kids. We baby feed them, spoon feed them.
Yes.
We don't give them difficult things. We do not recognize their abilities. So we do not push them forward. And that happens with a syllabus, compromised all the way, leaving things out, our teaching compromised. And I think we are missing the point when it comes to primary school of the basics, try to fit too many things inside, instead of going to the basics and doing a lot of practicals and interesting things for kids to love mathematics. We're taking the fun out of the mathematics, too much syllabus, touch here, touch there, we do not accomplish anything. High school...
We're not doing consolidation, right?
Yes, absolutely. In high school, all kids do not have the basics, too much syllabus, touch here, touch there, accomplish nothing. The syllabus much lower the level that it should be. And when kids finish high school and they go to varsity, they feel the knock. And they have to catch up then because the syllabus, it's too wide, too many things, but nothing too well.
And if you think about it, Alexandra, when you're going into university or you decide that you are going to be an entrepreneur or you decide that you are going to be maybe, you know, going through a college or whatever way of getting yourself financially independent and, you know, building on skills, when you realize that there are gaps in the mathematics that you've learned at school level as compared to what is expected in the real world, it's very, very taxing to condense 12 years of schooling and the mathematics into probably 6 months, because otherwise you're going to be struggling when it comes to getting a job. You're going to be struggling when it comes to your tertiary education. Do you agree?
It's very difficult to get everything right at the end. And it's too much for a young person to do that. But
totally,
they're doing it. They're doing it. And that proves us that our youth is capable. They can do it.
Most definitely.
So we should.
But now to my next question, because I have to interrupt you here, because my next question, which is going to be so obvious, that remember formal education in South Africa starts at, I think it's 5 years old when they're in grade R, and, you know, moving forward, so 4 turning 5 moving up. But in that time where children are at home, it's about being proactive parents and not telling yourself that formal learning only starts at school. Formal learning starts from the time your child is in your womb, for moms and obviously for dads, you know, being hands-on. So mathematics, emotion, from the time a child is able to speak.
Yes. We have to just distinguish between two things. Some parents think, I start my kid, take your pen, take your pencil, paper here, and write. This is one, this is two, this is add. That's not what we do with the little ones. We don't want that. What we want is, you sit at a doctor's office, and you show 3 figures to the kid and take them away at the age of 2 and say, how many of these are here? The kid will have to internally count the numbers. If you just count 3 fingers, 1, 2, 3, when you see them, that is linguistics. It's not mathematics.
Yes.
But you take the fingers away so the kid internalizes the numbers. If we can take, we are cooking, we are taking beans. Throw a few beans on the floor, and then you ask the kids to count them, but you're grouping them for the child.
Three here, three there.
And that is actually how I started my kids. They
absolutely
never had to work very hard with mathematics because they had internalized the numbers.
So it's going from concrete to abstract, but also for now, right, for moving forward now, the children are older now, they're in high school, some of them are getting ready for matric exams, others are in grade 10, others are in grade 11. We underestimate the role. You know, we do this to ourselves. So like I say, a reminder for us first, the role that you as parents and caregivers, because not every child lives with their parents. Some children live with their grandparents for whatever reason. Some children live in, not children's, My apologies. Some children love in blended families. We don't know the home background, but we, you know, we are praying that there are children that have adult supervision, because there are child-headed households. Let's be realistic. And we don't realize that the preparation for examinations mentally and psychologically comes from the adult caregiver or parent. So if you're going to have a parent with unrealistic expectations that, listen here, Alexandra, if you don't get A's, like baby Aisha, then you and I have a problem, you'll be disappointing me. That is like living your dreams of achieving something great through your children. Or even where you say, okay, my sister's child does so well in algebra, what is your problem? So we don't realize that even as adults, even as teachers, I mean, you can obviously shed a lot of light on here. What you say to your students, parents, what you're saying to your child with an exam now, your unrealistic expectations is also adding to the child's anxiety and actually becoming a barrier to them performing.
Yes, we see that pressure every time with kids who get panic attacks while they write. They cannot breathe. A few days before they are getting sick, we have psychosomatic symptoms. We cannot tell the child, this is what you must do. What I love telling them is, you wrote the exam, how did it feel? If it didn't feel good, do you think you can improve on that? Instead of,
and how can we do that well together?
As parents, can you repeat the question?
I think also that you know, that reassurance to say, how can we do this differently? How can we do this better? Because, you know, exam pressure, especially when it comes to matriculants, you know, there's the media that is recording or going to be recording their performance. There's all this hype surrounding matric, but we forget that this is an exam like any other exam. We also forget that this is a young child. This is a 17-year-old. This is a child who may just turned 18. He's still a child. She's still a child. They have all these hopes and dreams, but it's also still an exam. And they need that parent or their teacher or their family member to say, how can we find a solution together? How can we prepare for the exams together? You know, often it's like, go and study, lock yourself in the room, no TV, no cell phone, nothing, take all of this away, and telling everyone in the house, shh, my child is studying. But how do you know if your child is coping?
Yes, we have to start with a kid, say, this is your starting point. So they have a mark, we say, okay, this is your starting point. Are you willing to improve it? If that child is not willing to improve it, we can do nothing. But if that child is willing, this is a starting point, that's where you start, can be anywhere. Are you willing to improve it? How do you think you can improve it? What can we do to help you? And then we can give it, you can give tips to the kids. Okay, you're sitting right now in 50%. Why don't you try to master those questions, the easier questions? And after you do that, let's start working in a bit higher level. There's not a reason for a child who's in the 40-50% to sit down and struggle with a very difficult question. The papers are leveled. So they have very easy questions, very difficult questions. So the child has first to see where they fit. I am 40%. Okay, I'm going to tackle the level one and level two questions. If I'm being successful, only then, when I know this very good, I go to the level threes. If I am in level three and I'm feel comfortable solving those, let me then concentrate a bit on the level four questions. So you cannot just go and get a paper perfect. And that has to start from grade 10. When the kids write, see where they are, that's their starting point, work in the level, and slowly start picking it up. So we cannot have unrealistic expectations. We have kids who come in grade 11, the parents come, and the kid has 50% mathematics. And they say, oh no, my kid wants to go to med school, they need mathematics and they need an aim. I said, fine, I'm sure my kid is going to make it. That is not the right attitude. It's not you're in 50 and suddenly your kid's going to get the 90 they need for med school. So the parents have to be realistic. It's okay, my kid's in the 50. We're going to try to push. Maybe you're going to get a 60, turn one. And we keep pushing slowly, level one level at a time. But it's not really realistic. You're at 50 and then you're getting into med school. You need a 90 there. So parents have to think how much pressure they put to their kids. To get a 90 in the matric exam, you have to be consistently above 85% throughout the years.
It's challenging. You know, I think also when we're saying that I need to get this percentage in math so I can get into, say, for example, mathematics, or I need to get this so I can get into there, we actually need to shift the mindset and say, I want to get, or I'm striving to achieve a 70% or 80% in mathematics because I want to empower myself and learn various techniques and learn about mathematics. So it opens my doors to various careers and opportunities later. It shouldn't just be, I need to get this percentage so I can get into maths. I need to get this percentage so I can get into medicine. It should be, I need to learn and empower myself in the area of mathematics so I can enrich my life and those around me. So it's a lot of change of mindset. Yeah. You know, having this positive mindset towards your subject matter. Because once you have that belief and that change in the way you think, that's going to make you want to learn and want to perform for yourself. So even when you have the encouragement of your family and your teachers, that's just pushing you or you know, being your cheerleaders because you already have that growth mindset as a student. It's like, oh, I just had to take maths because, you know, how will I get into actuarial science? That already is mentally telling you that this subject is a chore. It's a task. It's a burden. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't be, the entire thing is about thinking positively and mindset. And you know, Alexandra, who better than you who can actually speak to parents right now? Let's leave the students one side. Speak to parents right now that are listening in. Speak to educators right now who are listening in. What would you like to say to them? That their power that they have, the influence that they have over their students can either make or break a child's life.
Yes. Actually, educators and parents should be, how can I assist you? The kids have to climb. The parents have to be there to support, not to put the pressure. How can I assist you? Where do you want to get? How can I help you in this step? Do you study? Do you want me to stay with you while you're studying, just in case you're falling asleep? Do you want me to keep your cell phone so it doesn't distract you? Because it has to come from the child, but the parents and the teachers have to be here. The teacher can go to the child and say, I see you sit at 78. Do you want to go through your papers to find your mistakes and we talk about them so you can improve them? So we can suggest the kid has to do it. But we need to be present.
My final question to you, my dear friend, Alexandra Sukumaya, because unfortunately we need to round off the show shortly. We definitely will be doing other shows later in the year, closer to the final matric exam as well. And not just for matric exam, with other aspects of mathematics. But for today's show, what is your message to every young child that is listening in today from grade 1 right up until grade 12 and beyond? What would you like to say to this child?
Mathematics is beautiful as long as you open your eyes. If you manage to play with the exercises, do the exercises, can I try it a different way? what if I go like this? Do I get the same? If you get into that level, you start playing with your math, experimenting with your math, then you start loving it. You can see all the sides. And when you love it, nothing can stop you.
It's amazing. Thank you so much, Alexandra Sukumaya. May God bless you and every educator out there for loving children and investing in children who are not even yours. May God bless you and every educator out there who goes the extra mile, knowing that you are doing what you're doing for the pleasure of God and service to humanity. I need to share this with our listeners. When I spoke to Alexandra last night, I think it was after Maghrib Salah, and where was this lady? This amazing, phenomenal human being just came out of a revision classroom on a Friday night after Maghrib Salah. So about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, that's exactly where she is. If this is not dedication, if this is not commitment, if this is not somebody who loves what she does for the pleasure of Allah, I don't know what is. Alexandra, my God, accept from you and be pleased with you. And those who are in your classroom and those who are, have the honor of being in your lessons are truly, truly blessed. Amen.
Thank you very much. Be blessed.
You're welcome. To our beloved listeners, this is my message to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in knowledge, wisdom and understanding, not just to the students, but to the parents and to everyone who is listening in. Our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, learn from the cradle to the grave. When your children are studying a particular subject, study with them. Improve your skills. Remember, curriculums have changed over the years. Sometimes we need a refresher course in certain subjects. Sometimes you can tell your child, I think this is not how it's supposed to be done. This is the way I learned. Not only are you empowering your child or the child in your care with skills, values, knowledge, and attitudes, you are also communicating with the child. You are bonding with this child. You are adding value to this child's life. And that is tariqah Jaria for you. Every time the student does something in a positive light that you have shared with this child, that you have taught this child, that is a dua and sadaqa jaria for you. Grab those rewards, grab those opportunities. Tell your children that an examination does not define you. I am proud of you. I am proud of your efforts. If you feel that you can do better, let us do this together, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. To all the children who are writing exams, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with success. May Allah increase you in knowledge, wisdom and understanding. And may you use the knowledge that you have and gain to make the lives of others better purely for the pleasure of Allah. Earn their du'as and you will see doors open for you everywhere, inshallah. On behalf of myself and my sound engineer, Hafiz Hanzala Hafiji, we wish you a beautiful week ahead. Kindly remember me, the dynamic team at Radio Islam International, the Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all our Hajis who are embarking on this once-in-a-lifetime amazing experience of Hajj in your du'as. May Allah accept the du'as of all who judge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease and make us among those of whom He is pleased with, inshallah. Until we speak again next week, Saturday. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.